Also starting to get underway with election season. It is an unusually quiet year by North Carolina standards because it's not a presidential election year. We don't have a governor's race or a U.S. Senate race, but there are a lot of very, very important races on the ballot that have got observers watching very closely and a lot of voters galvanized and excited. We've got every single seat in the General Assembly up for grabs. We've got the state Supreme Court race, of course, between Anita Earls, Barbara Jackson, and Chris Anglin. That was very much in the news just in the last couple of weeks with the General Assembly special session. And speaking of which, we've also got those six state constitutional amendments that are going to be on your November ballot as well. As we get into election season, where do North Carolinians stand on all of those races? Public Policy Polling, based out of Raleigh, just did a survey of North Carolina voters. This was conducted the last 2 days in July. We've got the numbers now, and we are joined on the phone by Jim Williams of Public Policy Polling to break them down. Jim, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Aaron, thanks for having me.
So let's start with the constitutional amendments, because we haven't yet seen, I don't think, numbers on these since they were finalized and passed and officially put on the ballot. This survey asked voters what they thought about those amendments, and the questions were phrased exactly as we're going to see them on the ballot. So this is very much replicating what voters are going to be looking at when they go to the polls in November. Where do North Carolinians stand? Taking a look at the numbers, it looks like all six of these stand a pretty good chance of passing, at least as of right now, the way things are.
Right. And so, you know, as we know, the Republicans in the legislature went back into session to rewrite the way that these are going to be presented on the ballot. And I think they did that in a way to make them sound appealing. And I, based on these poll numbers, you have to say that they've succeeded. All of them have majority support. Most of them have at least 60% support, some of them in the 70s, and very few people oppose them off the bat. The first one is protect the right of the people to hunt fish and harvest wildlife, 69% support, only 17% oppose. Next one, strengthen protections for victims of crime, establish certain absolute basic rights for victims and ensure the enforcement of these rights, 75% support, 9% oppose. Next one's the voter ID one, require photo identification before voting in person, 65% support, 25% oppose. Next one, establish a bipartisan board of ethics and elections to administer election laws, 56% support, 11% oppose. Next one, reduce the income tax rate in North Carolina to a maximum rate of 7%. 65% support, 14% oppose. And then the last one, implement a nonpartisan merit-based system that relies on professional qualifications instead of political influence when nominating justices and judges for vacancies. 68% support, 11% oppose. So you can see what's going on here. These are all things that sound reasonable and pretty benign on their face. And I think that's why they get such a high level of support off the bat. And I think to the extent that there are people who are going to be trying to defeat these amendments because they don't like the policy outcomes that they're going to lead towards, it's going to require a lot of voter education in that direction.
And kind of along those lines, there are a number of voters, a pretty decent percentage in some of these cases, and particularly with that bipartisan Board of Elections and Ethics, who don't know where they stand right now. So
yeah.
As we start getting into election season and we get money spent and voter education campaigns and just straight up campaigning for and against these, I presume that not sure number is going to start to drop, right?
Yeah, and it needs to. And, you know, I mean, it's something that we see a lot when we polled on the voter ID issue in a lot of different places, and it's this kind of thing that sounds benign on its face. It sounds like it's something that everybody would agree on. Oh, yeah, you know, what's the big deal? I'll just show my ID when I show up to vote. But it's the sort of thing that people don't think through until you start to get into the issues of what that means in terms of disenfranchising people. And when people learn about things like that, the support becomes less automatic. So you're right, you know, it's going to depend on it's going to depend on educating people and flipping some of those not sures and some of those people who think they might support what some of these things are without learning too much about them, really getting them educated and up on what some of the outcomes would be.
Having done surveys of North Carolina voters recently, I know we haven't polled on these particular amendments yet, but were these numbers surprising to you, or is this kind of what you expected to see at the beginning of an election cycle?
Well, it is rare to have such a high level of support and such a low level of opposition to almost any policy proposal. You know, these days so many things break down on partisan lines. But again, I think, you know, that they knew what they were doing in the legislature when they rewrote these to make them sound appealing on their face if you don't think about it too much, or if you don't look deeper into what some of the outcomes would be. They sound okay. They sound reasonable on their face. And I think that's what's leading to a lot of the high levels of initial support.
Speaking with Jim Williams, publicpolicypolling.com is the website. Find them on Twitter at PPPpolls. So we're speaking about this new survey of North Carolina voters heading into the 2018 election. We've been talking about the constitutional amendments. Now let's go to the state Supreme Court race, which is very much in the news and really sort of, other than the amendments, kind of the highest profile state level race this year. You've got Anita Earls, the Democrat, Barbara Jackson, the Republican, and Chris Anglin, who filed to run as a Republican, is now going to appear on the ballot as unaffiliated, thanks to the General Assembly passing that bill earlier last month. So where do voters stand on this, and how actually does Chris Anglin affect the race between the two kind of major candidates, who are Earls and Jackson?
Sure. The three-way race, we have Democrat Anita Earls at 28%, Republican Barbara Jackson at 26%, and then Chris Anglin comes in at 10%. With 37% not sure. So a 2-point lead for Anita Earls. If you take away Anglin and just have the Earls Jackson one-on-one, it's still very close. Anita picks up 8 points to 36%, but Barbara Jackson picks up 9 to 35%, then with 28% not sure. So it still splits pretty heavily along partisan lines, and I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that having Anglin in there would necessarily gum up the works immediately for Barbara Jackson so much.
And then there are other court races, not the state Supreme Court, but Court of Appeals and seats on the state Court of Appeals. And it looks like they all kind of break down pretty much the same. The Democrat gets a third of the vote, the Republican gets a third of the vote, and then a third of voters just have no idea yet, right?
That's right. Yeah. One of them, John Arrowwood, the Democrat, and Andrew Heath, the Republican, they both get 34%. And then not sure comes in at 32%. And it's kind of that way for a bunch of the others. Democrat Allegra Catherine Collins, Republican Chuck Kitchen. Collins gets 33%, Kitchen 31%. So, you know, it's sort of the breakdown of what you naturally see in North Carolina politically, roughly speaking, one-third Dem, one-third Republican, one-third kind of not sure or independent.
And then for the General Assembly race, a little bit different there, but kind of along the same lines, right, with the Democrats slightly ahead of the Republicans and still quite a sizable percentage who don't know, right?
Yep, we asked the – generally speaking, if there was an election for state legislature today, would folks support the Democratic or the Republican candidate? We have a 5-point lead for the Democrats. 44% said that they would support the Democrat if the election were today for the state legislature. 39% said that they would support the Republicans. 17% not sure. So from the Democratic side, you know, it's nice to have that 5-point lead on the generic ballot. It's a little bit less than we're seeing nationally in terms of the generic congressional ballot. The lead for Democrats there is more like 6 to 8%. Sometimes you're seeing it as high as 10%. In North Carolina, a +5 in the generic legislative ballot, it means that Democrats are going to make gains. What Democrats really want to do this time, I think, is make enough gains to crack that veto-proof majority in the legislature.
Speaking again with Jim Williams, and you can get more information at publicpolicypolling.com. And we've been talking about all these races, and they're breaking down pretty similar, with a third of voters supporting the Democrats, a third of voters supporting the Republicans, and a third not sure. But I know we've talked about, when it comes down to brass tacks and you get to election day, it's not so much about changing the minds or getting those unsure, undecided voters to make up their minds as it is to motivate the respective Democratic and Republican bases to get out and vote. So last question about this survey is the crosstabs. I know you asked about the level of excitement that voters have heading into the polls. You broke that down between very excited, somewhat excited, et cetera. The voters who are the most excited about voting, the ones that we're expecting to really get out and show up during early voting and on election day, where do they stand?
Yeah, so we did ask that question, how excited are you to vote? And I'm gonna run that against what we were just talking about, the generic ballot, people that say they're going to vote for the Democratic candidate for legislature against people that are saying they're going to vote for the Republican candidate. Now, among people that said they're going to vote for the Democratic candidate for legislature, 49% of people who say that they're very excited, rather, are for the Democratic candidate. 43% are for the Republican candidate. When you're looking at people who are somewhat excited about voting, 46% say they would be voting for the Democratic candidate. 37% say they'd be voting for the Republican candidate. So a 9-point lead there. Then when you get to people who are not that excited, that's when more of them are Republicans. 31% who say they're not that excited would be voting for the Democratic candidate. 35% said that they'd be voting for the Republican candidate. So Democrats definitely have the edge in terms of excitement. More people who are very excited or somewhat excited are planning on voting for Democratic candidates for legislature. When you look at the people that aren't that excited, they're more likely to vote for a Republican candidate. So if Democrats can harness that energy and turn out those voters, it'll bode well for them.
Again, publicpolicypolling.com, the website for more information. You can also find them on Twitter at PPP Polls. Jim Williams, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Aaron. Enjoyed it.